All right, good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to the Shiur Wednesday night. Parshas Hazinu is approaching. Moshe Rabbeinu was told by the Ribbono Shel Olam in Perek Lamed Beis to go up Ale El Har Ha'avarim Hazeh Har Nevo Asher Ba'aretz Moav Asher Al Pnei Yericho Ur'eyas Eretz Kanan Asher Anino Sein Livnei Yisrael La'achuza. So Hashem instructs Moshe to go up to Har Nevo or Har Ha'avarim and look into the land of Israel. And ironically, Hashem instructs Moshe, Umus, Bahar Sha'ata Ola Shama, you have to die there, Ve'yaseif al Amecha, Kesharmez Aaron, Achicha, Behor Hahar, Ve'yaseif El Amav, okay, etc. So essentially, what the Ribbono Shel Olam is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, this week's Parsha, is to look into the land of Israel. And the question is, what does Moshe gain by that, right? He cannot enter the land of Israel. It makes it very clear. And in fact, in Pasuk Nambeis, Hashem specifically says, "Ki minege tiras aretz, v'shama lo tovo." Meaning, you're going to get to take a good look, but you will not enter the land. Wow. So the question therefore becomes: okay, if you don't get to enter the land, so what do you gain by looking at the land?
Make you feel worse.
Oh, exactly. It almost reminds us of like the halacha known as loeg l'rush. Right, we have Pasuk in Mishlei, which is a halacha that you can't make fun of the dead if you're in a cemetery. You can't talk Torah.
Don't want to see it, Moshe Rabbeinu.
Oh, he wants to see it. Say, this is not a tease. This is actually like giving into a request. Hashem is actually being merciful here. Right, excellent. So Rashi says, "Ki minegi tireh v'gomer ki im lo tirena achshav lo tirena od bechayach." Meaning, this is your last chance, Moshe. If you don't look now, you're never going to see it. But you won't enter. And the third Rashi in the second Makoro says, "V'yadati ki chavivi yilcha." I know Eretz Yisrael is very precious to you. Al kein ani omer lecha alo alei urei. So exactly what Abi was saying, that Rashi is arguing that this was not chas v'shalom anything negative, rather it was a favor almost kiviyachem. Meaning Moshe wanted this, right? And Moshe asked for it, and Hashem says, "I'm going to give you. Listen, I can't give you everything you asked for. You wanted to enter. I can't let you do that. But you want to see? I'll let you see. I know it means a lot to you, and therefore take a good look." Okay, so it almost sounds like you can imagine like someone in their deathbed. You got one last wish, almost like, you know, last day of your life. Like, what would you like if you'd want anything? You know, we know the concept in this generation, but there's more. Yonah, do you want the Makoros? Would you benefit from looking at them? All right, so let me just...
Yeah,
if you want the Makoros...
Did Moshe...
What's your email, Yonah? Yonah.
B-L-O-C-K?
At Gmail?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, no issue, man. All right, yeah, Rabbi Weintraub.
Did Moshe realize that Hashem's going to show him the entire land? I mean, obviously, he saw the whole land, which is impossible for a human being to see when you're on a mountain. You can't see everything. But he obviously saw everything at Hayom Acharon.
Yeah.
So, Pashup Shad, he saw the entire country.
But I'm sorry to say that's Pashup Shad. But you're right. I mean, certainly Chazal say that.
No. The drasha is at Hayom Acharon.
Right. But yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm assuming Moshe did not realize that he was going to be able to access anything more than the natural eye could access. He probably did not anticipate that. But be that as it may, that's Rashi. Beautiful. A lot to talk about there. We're going to focus on this Or HaChaim and then going to the sugya this evening of when to ironically buy the Arbaminim. See how many of us made a mistake by buying them too early. All right, let's go on. So Or HaChaim says, V'shama. We'll just see how many. V'shama lo tovo la'aretz. Kasha asked Or HaChaim, Ach sh'amar v'shama lo tovo ma mokum lachzor v'lo mar la'aretz. Meaning it's a little bit repetitive. And there is an amazing midrash that the Or HaChaim says as follows. You have to understand this pasuk. It's not repetitive and it's not mean because there's a midrash that says she'asin Moshe likanis la'aretz im ha'avos la'asin lavo. When Mashiach arrives, we will be able to gain access to Eretz Yisrael not only with the avos but with Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Zohar says ki hu yavi et Yisrael el la'aretz bebog ulasam. Unbelievable that Moshe will be the one who escorts us into the land. And when Hashem told Moshe, "V'shama l'savo," you cannot enter the land of Israel. Moshe was afraid. Oy, maybe that means permanently. I will never gain access in the land of Israel, and that's why Hashem needs to reiterate, reassure Moshe. No, el ha'aretz asher ani nosein. So the Or HaChaim understands that when the Torah says el ha'aretz asher It means only right now, this point, meaning at the point in time when I'm giving them the land of Israel to inherit, that is the moment in time where you may not enter. However, la'asid lavo, you will be able to enter. Okay, very nice. It's a beautiful drasha whereby the Or HaChaim is saying that Hashem was reassuring Moshe that there a day will come in the future where he will be able to enter Israel. Very nice. But this evening, obviously, when the Seder made Shuva, this coming Shabbos is not only Parshat Hazinu, but Shabbos Shuva. Sunday night, Monday is Yom Kippur, and we're approaching Sukkot at a very fast pace. We want to speak about the Inyan of Tshuva, certainly. And I want to ask, well, still, what does Moshe gain? Meaning Hashem could have told Moshe, you'll get there one day. What is Moshe looking at? Meaning Moshe is still looking at a land that he won't be able to get to for a very, very, very long time. And Al Pi Drush, you could certainly understand the lesson to be learned, is that sometimes in life we have to look at things and recognize that we, Ein HaChanami, are not there yet, but we want to be there. This is the concept of having a dream, what we call in Musar and Machshava, having She'ifos, whereby you see a goal, you see Eretz Yisrael in this case, and you say, I want to get there. How do I get there? And even the dream alone, that She'ifa, the longing of getting there one day, that is tremendous value in the Torah. Of the She'ifos alone, that desire to want to come closer to Hashem, that desire to want to be better, even if you're not there in the present, but if you're there at least on a futuristic level, an idealistic level, that is tremendous value. I want to kind of phrase the shir within the Gemara's terminology, Maseches Kedushin. The Gemara there, Mem Amud Aleph, is explaining the difference between Averos and Mitzvos to a degree. And the Gemara says, Machshava Tova Mitzarfa L'Maaseh. Sometimes, if you have a good thought that you are inspired to do a mitzvah, even if you don't end up doing the mitzvah, Hashem will say, well, you still get reward for the thought. And if you do the action, you get reward for both the action, the good deed that you did, and the thought that you had for doing it. And it's underlined, Amr of Asa, filu chashav adam la'asos mitzvah. Let's say you really wanted to buy arba minim tonight. V'nanas v'lo asa, but whatever, you left your wallet at work, whatever. You couldn't do it this evening. Ma'ale alav ha'kasuv ki'ilu asa'a. The Torah says, because you wanted to do the mitzvah and a unique circumstance prevented you from actually accomplishing the goal, nonetheless, Hashem considers it as if you did the mitzvah, being that your head was in the right place. In contrast, machshava ra'a, ein ha'kadosh baruch hu mitzar for l'maaseh. If you wanted to do something bad, and seemingly, right, you didn't end up doing it, right, Hashem will say, you know what? He had a good intention. We're not going to penalize him for the bad thought alone. Again, that's a loaded Gemara, because certainly there are bad thoughts. And the Gemara itself explains that when you have bad thoughts regarding Avodah Zarah, it's bad. And there's a Gemara in Bava Basra that says every day we sin. And one of them, we have here, Hure Aveira. There's no question that there is a place in Halacha for getting punished for your evil, you know, thoughts, your negative thoughts. However, to some degree, whatever this means, again, we could spend a lot more time on this particular Gemara, but the point I want to focus on is that there are times when the halacha says even the thought alone counts for the good. The thought alone counts. Again, a lot more to discuss on the negative side of it.
What about the concept of somebody who thought he was eating, say,
eleven,
it turned out to be
Shuma? Yeah. So if someone thought he was eating non-kosher.
Right.
So this is where you get into
accident.
Yeah, Rav Chanan Wasserman, right? So he has the Kovetz Mamaros about this topic, right? And it's Mamas, the Yom Kippur topic. A Yom Kippur topic when we speak about not only Kapara, but the Tara. So this is where Rav Chanan came up with for Yom Kippur, that we achieve purity. Because let's say you intend to rebel against Hashem. You Mamish intend to eat treif, but it ends up being Mamish kosher. So the soul is not necessarily blemished the same way, but the act of rebellion, we're still in Aver. I mean, you still intended to rebel against Hashem.
You get punished from Yidei Adam for sure.
Yeah. You would get punished. I mean, if you intended to rebel against Hashem, I mean, your intention was to eat the non-kosher. Yeah, so that's an act of rebellion that you need a kapar for you, 100%. 100%. Yeah, very good. Yeah. Rav Chanan addresses this question like head-on. Your mom is Shevi Mechavad Rav Chanan. That, again, when we make decisions, if it had a rebellious nature in nature, even if the action wasn't so bad, we get punished for the rut zone to rebel, we get punished. But Yom Kippur could cleanse you from that. But the idea of connecting the present and the future, of whereby Moshe Rabbeinu was like longing to get into Israel, and even in the present moment, if you're longing to do a mitzvah, like right now you can't do it, but your head is in the right place. So that's very connected to tshuva. You know, famous in the Rambam Perek Beis says, what is tshuva? Hu sheyazav achot echeto v'aser mimachshava. So number one, you got to stop the sin and get it out of your head. V'yigmor b'libo shelo yaseh od, and then you obviously have to firmly decide not to do it again in the future. So there it is, present and future. Tshuva is about stopping right now, putting the brakes on, no longer sinning, and also making a policy decision about tomorrow. I won't sin tomorrow. And certainly it has to do with the past. It's underlined, right? It's not only about the present, not only about the future, it's also about the past. You have to regret your previous sins. And the Rambam famously in Halacha Gimel says, anyone who does vidur b'dvarim v'lo gomer b'libo lazav, but you don't actually decide to have your tshuva affect the future, what is it comparable to? Hari zedom l'tova v'sheretz b'yado, etc., right? How in the world can you go into a mikvah while holding your sheretz? You're contaminated by definition. So too, if you only in the present are doing tshuva without any resolve, any decision about the future, that is bupkis. It has no effect on the tshuva whatsoever. So this is the time of year where kiviyach we want to be mitzdaref the machshava and the maaseh, right? Our heads should be in a good place where we're looking for a better tomorrow. And, you know, you can have lofty goals of the year, and that alone seemingly carries tremendous weight. Because if you're in the mikvah without a sheretz, and you say, I never want to touch a sheretz again, and you get out of the mikvah, and you can't resist, you have such a taiva to pick up a sheretz, right? So again, you'll become tamei again. But when you were in the mikvah, and you were genuinely saying, I don't want to ever become tamei again, I want to stay presently in the mikvah, I can't. But in the future, my goals are to remain pure. So that seemingly has tremendous value in halacha. And the halacha we're going to now focus on very practically is going to demand that we think of the future. Here it is. The Rambam Halacha Zayin famously writes that we do vidu at Erev Yom Kippur. Sheyaschil me'erv hayom kodem sheyocha. Why shame yechanek besuda kodem sheyizvada? Right? Right, what's the idea? What? Exactly. So, right, what's the idea? That we have to be afraid that perhaps at the Suda Mafseket we might choke. So you better do vidui at Mincha earlier in the day.
You got a problem with that?
All right, so no, but what's the question on this? Do we ever say, Daven Mincha Gedola, because you might not live till Shkia?
Yeah, in Achinami, that is not as bad as not doing tshuva.
Oh, very good. But that is to say, you're already answering the question, right?
You have tashlumin for that. You don't have tashlumin if you didn't do tshuva.
Very good. Very good. Say, you're already answering the question.
If you were so worried about choking, maybe, I don't know, Tony, about that one.
But, you got me, but you have
no, the point is, no, but as Stuart's pointing out, it's not meant to be taken literally, meaning there's clearly a lesson there. There's a profound insight of the Rambam, the Gemara.
Or the suit is part of the Yom Kippur.
All right, yeah, very good. Rabbeinu Yonah says that the suit is Yom Kippur, whatever, like five reasons.
I agree with him. If you're really, really worried about that, then don't eat, even though, you know, if you're worried that, you know, you're so hungry, you're going to eat like crazy and you're going to choke, then just don't
but
do
you're,
it.
But you're not disagreeing. So yeah, Amy and Stuart are coming from slightly different angles.
The lesson is very simple.
Yeah, what's the lesson?
You got to take it seriously.
Exactly.
To
yeah, you're saying the same thing. You're saying the same thing.
To the point that life depends on your doing tshuva.
Yeah, see,
very, that's gonna, it. You're that's probably it. Not going to choke to death.
Of course, right.
What if you did? And you didn't do tshuva.
That's it. You're both saying the same thing.
Yeah.
So the idea
just
is
bringing up that topic.
Yeah.
It's Yom Hamisa. It must be
right. Right. Hamisa. So you know, since when does the halacha demand that we are so precautious and paranoid? But evidently, no. This is the time of year where you are required to think about tomorrow. And it's almost like if you're a 20-year-old kid. You want to get married, and it's like your in-laws are saying, well, do you have life insurance? Like, life insurance? Are you crazy? You know, and your mom is like, your mother's like, actually, I'm not crazy. It's like kind of how like life works. Like, you got to take things seriously. You know, you want to buy a new car, and it's like, you want insurance. You want to buy a new house, you want insurance. And then when you get older, you realize, like, you got to think about these things, like the what-ifs, right? So Yom Kippur is a time where the halacha does not allow you to pretend everything is going to be okay tomorrow. If you're only thinking about the present, and you're not worried about tomorrow, then you're missing the point. You're missing the point. By extension, The halacha is demanding your mind to be concerned about tomorrow. The she'ifos of tomorrow, the concerns about tomorrow. And this is where the halacha has tension. About where do we bridge the gap between the present and the future. Ein mekachin levana, says the Shulchan Aruch, kodem Tisha B'Av v'lo kodem Yom HaKippurim. You may not, or rather, we don't, recite Kiddush Levana before Yom Kippur, according to the Maharil and the Shulchan Aruch. Motzei Yom Kippur, you make Kiddush Levana, or Besimcha, beautiful. Now, who disagreed with the Shulchan Aruch on this one? The Vilna Gaon. And the Maisa Rav.
Beautiful night tonight.
As Kiddush Levana, you don't wait, you don't delay. 7 days, you just do it right. You don't wait till Motzei Shabbos. He says, after 3 days, you don't wait till 7 days, you don't wait till Motzei Shabbos. 3 days after the Molad, the Vilna Gaon would make Kiddush Levana. V'chein mekachin kodem Tisha B'Av, v'kodem Yom HaKippurim. So the Gra is, well, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? You do it today. Of course, there's certainly, if you see in the forecast that, you know. The Gra, it's not clear to me. It seemingly was just a matter of Zrizus. We don't wait for mitzvos. The Ein Machmitzin, meaning of Ein Machmitzin.
So Rabbi, you always said we try to do it Saturday night. Before Yom Kippur, to get another mitzvah.
Oh, very good, very good. So that's the Levush.
So do it tonight when there's a nice moon out.
All right, so the truth is there's clouds in the first.
It's going to rain Saturday night.
All right. But yeah, Stuart's point was what was motivating the Gra, seemingly the idea of Ein Machmitzin a mitzvah. We don't delay the opportunity to do a mitzvah. The mitzvah comes your way, you do it. Well, in the Maisa Rav is presented as Kiddush Shabbat Ein Machmitzin a mitzvah. It's not necessarily a din in the Yom.
It's Jesus.
You don't delay. Yeah, it's a halachic term. Say, if a mitzvah comes to your way, right, I'll tachmitzen. Don't delay the chametz process. Don't let it sit. Yeah, don't procrastinate. So the levush.
Then it'll be puzzled.
The levush, it could be just inherently valuable to do zrizus. The levush is the one who argues specifically in this time of year. He says, "Ein mekachin levana ela arachar yom kippurim." So wait a minute. We don't do Kiddush Levana until after Yom Kippur. Why? You know why? Because we're so afraid of the Yom HaDin. And Kiddush Levana needs to be said b'simcha. And that's the minug. And I didn't underline, but in the second line it says, V'ani shemati b'shem gadol echad. I'm not exactly sure who he's quoting. Levush was like the 1500s, very, very long time ago. She'ad rabba tov she'ikachu osa b'soch aser shemet shuva. So apparently, as Rabbi Yudin has taught here before, as Adam said, Dr. Karp Shlita with himself from Rabbi Yudin, that what do you mean? Here we are being judged. Every mitzvah counts more than ever. You want to measure out your averus versus your mitzvos, so why not chop another mitzvah? And the Levush agrees with this gadol. This makes sense. And that will actually add to the simcha. You're so afraid of the Yom HaDin, the Yom HaDin. But you know what's going to make you feel a lot better? When you do mitzvos and the Yom HaDin is no longer seeming so, against you, but rather you're doing more zechuyos. And in the underlined, it says, V'kidei l'kaim ha-minug efshar lomar. Wait a minute. A minug, you got to do the minug. The minug is to wait till after Yom Kippur. So you know what he says? We wait to do it. Have a hahamtana gam kein mitzvah. There it is. I love that line of Levush. The waiting is also a mitzvah. V'hi hi hamachre'es. You have a scale. You want to tip the scale to zechuyos? What's your zechus? Not Kiddush Levana proper, but your anticipation of Kiddush Levana. Your excitement to do Kiddush Levana.
Because he's in Makdim in the mitzvah.
No, we don't wait.
He
waited. Because that's the minug. That's the minug Klaizros, to wait. If you're a Gronik, you don't wait.
Hihi HaMachras might be what to do it early or not. Not that it's going to be this she'ifa to do the mitzvah is the thing that's going to tip the scale. Maybe he means...
No, I got you. I got you loud and clear. But no. It means that the waiting alone is the zechus. It's, what is that called in a Gemara? That's why I preface it with a Gemara Kedushin. The Machshava is Mitzvah of Ma'asa. And he doesn't use that terminology, but it's the same concept. when Moshe Rabbeinu is looking into Eretz Yisrael with those she'ifos, ooh, I can't wait to get there. That is a zechus. Inherently, the excitement to perform a mitzvah is a zechus. And it's not the only time. We have this awkward balance. It's just that you can't not quote this Eli Yehuda. So again, the Eli Yehuda, the same author as Eli Rabba, right? It's a wild makor over here that he quotes that there was from the Chassid Maharam Meisels that an individual bumped into a non-Jew and the non-Jew wanted to kill him, and he specifically requested, please let me at least do one mitzvah before you kill me. And it was a Kiddush Levana opportunity, and when he did the kfitza, he jumped three times, the wind picked him up and saved him, and he was able to kind of like fly away. So, you know, the idea is that it's maybe better to do Kiddush Levana before Yom Kippur, because the impending Yom HaDin is upon us, and by doing Kiddush Levana in the same way that that Jew was able to escape danger via Kiddush Levana, so too we could escape a negative judgment via Kiddush Levana. Wow. All right, take that, take it or leave it. Not exactly for the Litvaks or the most, we'll say, literalists in the room, or, you know, the scholars among us, but it's a wild makor. Can't ignore that one. All right, the Mishnah Berurah says we recite Kiddush Levana, what is commenting, Kodem Yom HaKippurim, V'lo Kodem Yom HaKippurim, D'gam Kein M'uyayim M'Mikoach HaDin, right, exactly what I quoted before. That idea is that we're a little afraid of Yom Kippur, but again, in the Bir Halacha, he says, but the Levush disagrees, again, that better to do it first, and the Basim, the other poskim disagree, again, that better to do the mitzvah beforehand, right? Against the Shulchan Aruch. All right, so again, you have people on both sides. Now, it's not only Kiddush Levana. Kiddush Levana, again, draws this tension about the future and the present, you know, and the anticipation of the future, the excitement towards the future impacts the halacha. Says the Ramah back-to-back halachas, the Medaktikim would immediately, after Yom Kippur, build the sukkah to go from one mitzvah to the next. That's the very end of Hilchos Yom Kippur, and the very next Sif and Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah again in Hilchos Sukkah says a mitzvah latake in a sukkah miyad l'achar Yom Kippur, the mitzvah baliyado al yachmit sena, right? Same lashon again from the Maharil again, that if a mitzvah comes your way, what are you waiting for? Do it immediately. Okay, very nice. Only question is, the Sharei Tshuva over there says, wait a minute. So don't build the sukkah before Yom Kippur? Why not? Well, there is a concept, I'll pee the Midrash, that, you know what, maybe on Yom Kippur we were sentenced into Gullus, and therefore you have the sukkah afterwards. But the Sharei Tshuva says, well, that has nothing to do with building the sukkah, that only has to do with sitting in the sukkah. And therefore the Sharei Tshuva concludes, no. Why don't you build your sukkah before Yom Kippur? Why? Building a sukkah is a mitzvah. And what are you trying to do before Yom Kippur? Accrue as many zechuyos as you can. And guess what he quotes? The Lavush. In the same way the Lavush recommends Kiddush Levana before Yom Kippur to be, to accrue more merits. So too. Unbelievable. By sukkah, why not do it early? Why not do it early? So here again, they have a Yeah, not for now. But yes, there's a mitzvah building sukkah, absolutely. So the Mata Ephraim, so he deals with the awkward reality that we're all in right now. Tonight in Shomer Torah, there is a Lulav and Esrog sale. In 1 week from tonight, it will still not yet be sukkahs, right? It feels a little bit earlier than usual this year. At the same time, it's like, it's not so early. Like, sukkahs coming up pretty quickly. Yom Kippur on a Monday kind of puts you in a tight spot, like, classically in like the yeshiva jargon, like Yom Kippur's over, that's when you start thinking about sukkahs, right? You go to I grew up in Queens, you know, Noam Fick Shlita, that guy is the man. Like a whole Kleiser like shows up in the store. You pick out the best lulav, the best esrog, and it's like a whole balagan. It's an amazing, that's how I grew up. I love that. You know, it's the Eretz Yisrael style. You go to these shuks and you just, you know, that's what happens. And there's a midrash like that. It's on them, of course. Let's put it in the right place. But the Midrash says that when do we start sinning? Only starting sukkahs. Why? Because what are we busy? We quoted this Midrash last week. Right? Between Yom Kippur and sukkahs, the Midrash says we're busy building the sukkah and getting the dal and minim. So there's no question. Like already in Chazal, there's a concept of like doing all the dal and minim stuff between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, because you can't deny that midrash. It's the next source. But the Mata Ephraim I have right before that source is as follows. B'makum shematzu isham mochu esrogim. Nohagim anshe maisel zrizin makdim liknos lem esrogim yofim umudarim. So they buy the arab aminim. Based on your financial means, you could buy a certain, you know, level. It still applies today. How much money can you invest in your arab aminim? Wait a minute. But you're buying it pretty early. Says the Mata Ephraim, it's underlined. Here it is again. V'zechus machsheves ha-mitzvah ha-yikara ha-zot shehu mitzarefet l'maaseh tachriya oso l'kav zechus b'yom adin. Unbelievable. Same is sort of the Mata Ephraim. That this excitement, that even though you're buying the arba minim maybe a little early, but because you're excited to do the mitzvah, the very excitement alone adds to your merit, and therefore, not only did you do the mitzvah of buying the dalet minim, you did the mitzvah of buying them early. And again, he writes, the zechus of the machshava is mitzarev to the ma'aser. So the Mata Ephraim is the one who got me thinking about the Gemara and Kedusha. That's what he's quoting, so I'm paraphrasing. So here it is again, that sometimes in the present, when you show Hashem that you're excited about the future, Hashem says, I'm going to give you reward, not only if you're doing a good thing, but even for the ratzon to do a good thing.
Yeah, I don't want to put a damper on this whole thing.
Yeah.
People who are buying lulav and esrogim tonight, I hope, let's be down the kav zchus, that all of them want to be mazrizin the mitzvah, that they're really not doing it because it's convenient to do it now, and that next week they'll be too busy with something. No, let's assume they're doing it out of zrizis.
This is the only time you can do it. I mean, if the shul has the arba minim tonight, you have to do it tonight. I mean, it's like, when else are they going to buy arba minim, right? It's just the only available.
If you want really show zrizis, you're going to go search out where they're.
Okay, all right. Not everybody's on your majority. All right, you're right. But the idea is that although awkwardly some of us might feel like it's a little early, here you have a source of the Mata Ephraim saying, no, it's kishmak to do it early, and let's now have the proper perspective, that we're doing it for the sake of zrizis, etc. There's a little bit of a tension there of like when to get the arba minim. But here you have the Mata Ephraim saying that the mocha esrogim, if they were selling early, people would be excited to do it. He does conclude by saying that obviously you can wait if you know that after Yom Kippur you're going to buy things that are more valuable, meaning if they're going to have better quality after Yom Kippur. So that would be a reason you wait. All right, whatever. And again, I just put that midrash back in the Makoros from last week, because there you have a concept of word dafka after Yom Kippur. People were buying the lulav and esrogim. But I want to point out now, towards the end of this year, a few minutes left, it's not all or nothing. Right? Ideally, we all want to be doing mitzvos, and if we all want to be excited to do mitzvos. And here we're going to have two sources that say, well, if you can't do the mitzvah, at least try to think of it. Very similar to Moshe Rabbeinu's parsha. So let's say you would love to start building your sukkah immediately after Yom Kippur, but you're like 80 years old, or I don't know. Not that young, and it's like really hard to build a sukkah at night, and like you need like a team of high schoolers to help you or whatever, right? It's like most people. So, says the Kaf HaChaim, if it's too hard for you to build a sukkah right after Yom Kippur, you know, or you had a draining day, you're in shul all day, you were fasting all day, whatever, you know what? You can't build a sukkah by yourself, you're not a handyman, whatever. Lefachot yidaber me'inyanei sukkah im b'nei besa. Wild. Open up a little sefer and at least discuss the halachas of sukkahs with your family. Or talk about the holiday. Because again, in the star of machshava lemaisa, I'm putting words into the Kav HaChaim's mouth. But the excitement alone will build onto the zechuyos. And the Aruch HaShulchan says the same thing. That ideally, you try to build your sukkah right after Yom Kippur. But what if you can't? You know what he says? Yilmod ktsas mi mesecha sukkah o midine sukkah. Again, you can't do the maise. But why not have the machshava, you know? And here you have like Moshe Rabbeinu. I can't get into the land physically, but I'm at least going to try to get my machshava there. And here you have, again, I just wanted to point out that there are two halachos that mamish directly speak to this concept of taking the future into the account of the present. We know that a tziyomes is the most sensitive part of the lulav. Very hard to explain in words, but if you look at my finger here, right, so that would be the lulav tioma split, right? You don't want that split. So it's a huge machlokas. When is it a problem? Is it only a little bit that needs to be split? That's already a psul. We try to be machmir for that, or only it's like mamish all the way down, like halfway down the whole lulav. But what would be the issue? Why would some poskim say that it's a problem even if it's a little bit split? Because what are they afraid of? If it's a little bit split, it's going to split more, right? Meaning your present can be detached from the future. When you shake the lulav, it will inevitably split. Similarly, concept by the color of the esrog. So certainly, your esrog should ideally be complete fruit. It can't be, unripe. It has to be ripe. So the halacha is concerned. If it's still green, perhaps, I mean, it's not a gmar pri. Is there a nigmar pri or not nigmar pri? So again, if it starts to yellow a little bit, or at least you know that it will eventually turn yellow, but it's fully grown. It just needs to kind of yellow up a little bit. So that's where we take that into account. But again, a very similar halacha, where we specifically say, okay, at the present time, it's green, but the halacha says, but it's turning yellow, or it's on the way towards yellow, so it's already kosher. Again, there are certainly many who are machmir to dafka have at minimum a little bit of yellow in their esrog. Again, whatever has a two don, I'm not messing with that. But the Mishnah Berurah says that you want it to have a little bit of a look, you don't want it to remain fully green. Again, private discussion, whatever it is. But there are ways to make, put it with apples or all these little moves. But in conclusion, I think the point is clear that by nature we are human. We are bound to the laws of time and space. We are in the present. But the halacha recognizes that your head in the future can take you places. And in Samuel, the halacha acknowledges it. So Hilchos Teshuvah acknowledges it. And right now, our avodas Hashem is in the present. But your head can take yourself into a future. Have she'ifos for the year. If your future perspective on yourself is to finish Masechtos this year and improve your davening, improve your benching, improve your Beinat Mechaveiro, the Ribbono Shalom, Bez Hashem will be mitzar if all those she'ifos, all those machshavos to our current meisim. We should all be zochet to dream big this year and not lose hope and continue to be mitzar if our meisim to our lofty machshavos. All right, let's daven.